Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of EM Escapades Off Duty, the official podcast of EM Escapades, the comic strip. I am your host, Ben Clincy. Pleasure to have you back for another episode. Episode six? I don't know. I don't even think I'm going to mention that anymore. I'm not going to try and keep up with any of this because it really doesn't matter. You can listen to these in order. You can listen to these separate. You'll miss some of the chronological order of the goings-on in my life, but in general, you won't. If you skip to the comments and the interactive section of each episode, I don't think any of it really follows a chronological thing. So you could listen to episode 7, or you could listen to episode 1, or in any order. Like I said, some things might be confusing chronologically in my life. You might be like, wait a second, you know, like, he was divorced and now he's happily married. I'm joking, honey. I'm just teasing. I don't even know if my wife listens to these anymore. She used to listen to the old podcast. I don't think she listens to the new podcast. So we'll find out about that one together. Find out if she heard that one. But I do that a lot, don't I? But because I edit these and I realized I cut some of them out of the last episode, I'm trying to rely on less verbal stalls, a lot less but so I'm trying. It's a process we're going to get through together. I need to be sure of my words. I need to stop being nervous that I am going to offend you or that you are going to take something I say the wrong way, because you're probably going to do it anyway. That's what everybody does. Everybody takes everything out of context and everybody takes everything the wrong way. And for me to live my life in that kind of fear is not healthy for this relationship, you and I. And you and you and you and I. It's polyamorous. All of you and me. Yeah. I'm like a cult leader. What? Like I said, be confident in your words, Ben, and just keep going. So, allow me to apologize for abandoning this relationship this week. This was finals for college. So, yes, I have been off the grid. I have not posted to social media, really. I didn't do a single examining my strips this entire week. I was busy. I do two classes. It's a flash forward, or it splits I really am struggling to find the words for this one. Semester, that's right, college semester. I'm a brand new college student. I've never done this before. Splits the semester into two. So it's fall forward or flash forward one and flash forward two. So the fall was split into two, and I did two classes in the first half and two classes in the second half, instead of having to try and do four subjects all the way, you know, through, which would have been a nightmare. It would have been a terrible nightmare. But I did two and two. First half being probability and statistics and general psychology. Second half being human growth and development, which is pretty much psychology too. And anatomy and physiology 1. I know, didn't you take anatomy and physiology when you got your paramedic? Did, but it was for a certificate program, not a degree program, so guess what? Didn't count. And I know you're thinking, but it should have been an easy class for you, because you know it. You're a paramedic, and you took anatomy and physiology. You should have just been a breeze. I took the certificate program of anatomy and physiology at a school that is no longer existent. Maybe I think it exists in another town, but I was the second to last class, I think, to graduate from this school before it left town. So am I saying I didn't get the best education? I probably could have done better. I could have done better to do at least the certificate program from the community the technical college, because then at least my credits would have transferred when I had this bong epiphany that maybe I should strive to make more money in this lifetime. Is that the only reason why I'm doing this? No, I truly want to help people and, you know, get called a hero and have Funko Pop figures made in my likeness, you know, and stuff like that. Did you see that on my social media? Frontline workers, special edition Funko Pops. It was like surgeons and doctors and nurses and male nurses, I guess. And male and female doctors that had all the genders, I think, covered, or all the different races of particular professions, except for ours. Are we used to it at this point? Yes. Do we care? I I do, but I don't. And I was talking with this, I was talking about this with my wife the other night. I think the reason, from a psychology standpoint, and then I'll get back to what I was talking about school, but from a psychology standpoint, I think we don't get a lot of mentions because we're the boogeyman, if that makes sense. And not like John Wick, not like the cool one who will murder you. No, we aren't. Although, kill my dog, the last present left from my wife, watch what happens. If you haven't seen that movie, I would say spoiler alert, but that spoils nothing. That is truly the premise of the first John Wick movie. But moving on, if you break down the psychology, you know how people say don't speak the boogeyman's name or don't speak evil's name? I think our profession in particular scares them. And I can see that, you know, it's a tough sell to make it humorous with shows like Sirens. It is a tough sell because in the ER, they sit in ER rooms with their grandmother or themselves with their twisted ankle, and they can look through the curtain or look through the glass door and see all this goings on and have this imagination about all of this craziness, but they're in the place, you know, the big magical building where people come in and most of the time they leave. Most of the time they come back out fixed and better, and sometimes they don't. But the hospital is the land of Oz in this scenario, and we are the ones who come into your house and see your cracked den of a bathroom. You know, while the front of your house is pristine, oxymom, your bathroom tells the truth. Now, that is wrong for me to say, but I'm saying is it does occur. Not everything is exactly the way it appears, and we know that. We have the access to, like, the behind the scenes. So that is not going to make us anyone's favorite. Now, is that our fault? No. Also, when you think about grandpa dying, or you think about grandma dying, or you think about something scary that happened in your life, like a childhood friend drowning, you saw us. And so that's hard. That's hard to shake. And I think it just bleeds over into us. I think we're not going to be talked about much. We're not going to be mentioned much because if you don't mention us, maybe we won't show up. Does that make sense? That's what I truly believe. Because I like to be in the camp of belly aching and moaning and just saying, like, when are we going to get our respect? And maybe one day I can put us on the map. I'll do comedy or I'll go on TV and I'll make them see that paramedics are awesome. But you're not going to change it. I don't think you can change it because I think we're working against something that might be deeper psychological than just forgetting us. I think we're not popular by design because we have to go in there and do the not popular thing. We have to tell them on scene that there's nothing more that we could do, or we have to tell them on scene that their loved one is indeed, you know, dead after we confirm in two leads or more. So yes, so didn't mean to bring it all down, but that's what I think. So the Funko Pop, that's why I didn't make an opinion about it. I just said, saw these in the 7-Eleven today, and you guys took off and ran with the ball and picked apart that the tag said female workers. Didn't even say frontline workers, it said female workers. And there was a lot of things going on with that picture that I just didn't want to talk about, but I just let you guys do it. And a lot of comments covered that across the four social media sites. And I did it right there, like back to back almost, because once again, as I explained to you, a bit nervous about how all of the freaking verbal diarrhea I just gave out is going to be received. But it's from a good place. I truly think that we just, like I said, we're dealing with something deeper, and I just don't want to be that podcast or that website that really makes fun of it much. I'm reading some of my old comics as I'm about to do these examining my strips, and I took that stance. I was newer medic. I was newer in EMS 5 years ago, and I liked to bag on fire and bag on the police and talk about how nobody appreciates us and stuff like that. But as I'm reading it now, I'm starting to understand things just a little differently, and I was just imparting that onto you. So there you go. Now, back to school. as I said, did fall forward one, fall forward two, or flash forward. I don't know what it's technically called. It's just a lot of damn knowledge to cram into 7.5 weeks. Regardless, I'm happy to report that I passed my classes. So this was finals week for both Anatomy and Physiology 1, as well as Human Growth and Development. It was a lot of work. I wanted to get on there and explain it, but I didn't want to get your guys' wonderful words of encouragement. You guys would have flooded my social media pages. You would have direct messaged me. You would have texted me on the phone line. You would have done a lot of, you got this, man, you got this, which would have made things worse for me because I already put a lot of undue pressure on myself in this life. And the more people who kind of know what's going on with me in a lot of ways puts pressure on myself because I don't want to let you down in addition to letting my family down and myself down. And so I keep a lot of things real close to the chest. I didn't used to. I used to just be an open book like blah, 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 blah. But now I keep it close because I'm a college student, like a full-time college student. I did 4 classes this semester, and I'm a full-time college student, and I'm a full-time dad, full-time paramedic with a mortgage and a 42-year-old brain. So success is not guaranteed. So I just play it close to the chest to not embarrass myself, although one should say be confident. And I should be confident that I've got it. And my grades would tell you that because I graduated this semester with 2 A's and 2 B's and a 3.462 grade point average. So that's pretty cool, right? I'm very excited. Now, my next semester is once again another shortened flash forward of AMP2, after which I will technically be able to physically apply to the nursing program. What I'm doing right now is the pre-nursing and all the prerequisites and all that stuff, but I will be able to apply to the nursing program. If I ace AMP2, I will have a 3.59 GPA, which it helps. When they're accepting you and they're looking at you, grades do speak to some merit. You know, it helps say that this guy's serious. He studies hard. He tries for good grades. And he'd be great for this program. So that's what I'm striving for. And if you want to tell me now, while I've got a break between now and January 11th, you've got this, please do. I would love to hear from you on the social media pages, which if you do not follow me, that is the place to do so. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit, EMScapades, the EMS comic. Please stop by, say hi, follow me on those social media pages. That is also where you will answer your podcast question for the episode. That's right. Every single episode of this podcast, I put out a question to all of you, and I wait for your comments and your replies. I take said replies and I read them on this very podcast. It's kind of like a open discussion of sorts. You comment, I comment to your comments, and volleyball it all around and connect so-and-so to so-and-so and this one to that one. And you know, we have a lot of fun with it, or at least I'm trying to have fun. I hope it's fun to listen to. But thank you for listening to all that earlier stuff, my school and me getting real psychological on why we're overlooked in the heroes department. And I mean, in the end, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do your job well, and you're going to do it to the best of your ability, because whether or not they put you on Coca-Cola billboards or banners outside your station or bang pots and pans for you or give you discounts at every place you go to or drop off food at your station, if you are not a part of any of that, it does not change the fact that you are doing heroes work. Believe that, because I do, and I believe in all of you. So moving on to what I was saying before, the podcast question of the episode. What is that? Very simply, on the social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit, I put out a question typically on Wednesday. Going to really try and adhere to that. I have till January 11th or something before classes start back up. So you guys should be seeing a little bit more of me. I have the freedom to get everything out there and put some stuff out and hopefully can find a way to make a schedule of it. So when school starts back up, I won't stop that momentum. I also want to throw working out in there and eating right, you know. Okay, so the podcast question for this episode was this: ever had a celebrity patient? Mm-hmm. I ask, was it surreal, disappointing, or just another day? I personally have only had a couple, and one of them, a former football star who was in his older years and had dementia, but still could remember a lot about the game. That one was very neat to me. But nothing too crazy. I have never lived in an area that had a high celebrity concentration. It just was kind of, you know, we have celebrities here and there. But some of you live in areas where celebrities are all around, or famous people, or people who are in the public eye, or have been on television shows, have been musicians and stuff like that. Now, I asked you when I put this question out here to be very HIPAA compliant, very vague, and you did a very good job. Some of you I had to edit and all that stuff, and some of you I might have to, as I read this, kind of edit it up or whatever. So forgive me if some of these are awkwardly read, but they would be because I'm trying not to make this a podcast that outs anybody or puts anybody's personal stuff out here. I know you can be famous for things like that, but that is not the way I want this podcast to be known to the greater part of the world. I would rather it just be discovered by all of us in the field or people who know people and grow that way. I don't want to be famous because TMZ wants to get everybody mad at me. So let us, with that, continue on to the podcast question. So once again, have you ever had a celebrity patient? Was it surreal, disappointing, or just another day? Well, first up, as always, over on Facebook, we start off with Rob B. And Rob B said, had Mickey Mouse. Dang it. Already name dropping and I screwed it up. Dang it, I was not HIPAA compliant to Mickey. I apologize, Mickey. Please forgive me. Don't sue. Just joking. It's really great, though. Rob B said, Mickey Mouse, technically a skater from Disney on Ice. She was just dehydrated and exhausted from four shows a night over the weekend. That is great, Rob. Thank you for that one. the kid in me who went to a lot of those things, I was at the Baltimore Arena, which I believe is now First Mariner Arena, or was there for a while. I don't know what it's called anymore, but when I was a kid, Baltimore Arena was the place where everything was at. I had been to Ringling Brothers. I had been to Disney on Ice. I had seen The Wizard of Oz on Ice. I have been to so many shows at the Baltimore Arena, endless wrestling matches and such. And when I read this, all the kid me could think was, there's a girl inside the Mickey Mouse skater suit. Isn't that terrible? But the kid in me would have been like, no, that's not right. Mickey Mouse is a boy. It's a guy in there, like a guy skater. Like, Mickey's a guy. Now, I know better because I later went on to do costume character work myself, and I, brace yourself, for the St. Jude's Children's Telethon in Maryland, I was Blue from Blue's Clues, who we know is a girl. So I grew up to understand. I grew up to understand that a paycheck is a paycheck, and you got to do what you got to do. I know this now. So I don't care. I will play whoever you want me to play because it's money to do what I love to do, which is very little work for the delight of others. That's why I'm a comedian, too. I just want to make people happy and make stupid amounts of money to just talk because I'm going to do that anyway. I talk to myself. Shit, I never shut up. Next up on Facebook, William K. William K. said, found out after the call that they were a TV star when they stopped by the station to thank the other shift for helping them. Isn't that great? They get to meet the celebrity. Thank you for everything you did. Now, Did they graciously say, like, oh, no problem, but it actually wasn't us, it was the other crew, and I'm so sorry, but I will pass this along to them? Or did they turn around and say, oh, well, you're welcome, and, you know, it's just what a hero does, you know? One has to ask themselves, what makes a hero? You know, I mean, we put on our pants one leg at a time, just like you do, Miss Spears. And no, they didn't say, they did not say Britney Spears. There is no name mentioned in this. William did not mention the TV star. Actually, is she even a TV star? She might be. I don't know. But it was the first name that popped to mind. So forgive me. And I didn't specify whether it was the older one or the younger one or Aries Spears from Mad TV. Ha ha ha. Could have been. But he, yeah, and he said when they, he wasn't even gender specific. So look at that. I am digging myself a damn hole, aren't I? This is going to turn out bad. All right, zip it up, Ben. Let's do this. Thank you, William. Moving on, Bill K. Bill K said, yes, a bit surreal, bit sad. Worked out okay, apparently, according to Google. Thank you, Bill. Isn't that weird that you can look up the outcomes of your celebrity patients by that? Like, you could say, I wonder whatever happened to so-and-so after that car accident or after that, you know, fainting spell. And then you look on Google and go, oh, they're okay. They were okay. They made it. But, like, it'll never mention you. Keep that in mind. It'll say, police and fire came to the aid of this megastar, and thankfully, through the bravery of police and fire saved the day. We know. I don't care anymore, because we the boogeyman. Thank you, Bill. Moving on. April S. said, had a retired pro football player on the IFT side. Young guy going for higher level care. Too many knocks to the head caused neuro and psych problems that ruined him. That sucks. She goes on to say, reading his medical history made me really against the sport for a while. He was polite and just exhausted overall. It was sad more than anything. Also made me upset with the healthcare system. Once upon a time, that guy made bank, but his profession-induced medical problems ruined him. Thank you, April. Yeah, and that's rough, April. That is rough to see. My football player that I transported, he just had dementia, and he was much older. So I'm pretty sure, can't be sure, but I'm pretty sure it was late in life kind of dementia, maybe just elderly or predisposed. But it could have been from too many knocks on the head from his playing days. I'm not sure. But regardless, yes, they've done a lot to make the game safer and all that stuff. And a lot of people try and ban it, but I am a football fan. I really am. Go Ravens. I don't care. Fight me. If you don't like that, tough. Steelers fans. Moving on. Jerry A. Jerry A. said, had a patient that thought he was a character portrayed by Richard Dean Anderson. Sadly, it wasn't MacGyver. So he wasn't. So he didn't say he was Richard Dean Anderson. He said he was MacGyver. Now, did he try and prove it by grabbing five random items out of the cabinets of the ambulance and piecing them together into a device that was going to save the world or save the day at least? No, I would have been impressed. I would have been darn impressed if he could have taken like an ET tube and the end-tidal CO2 as well as like the seatbelt from the stretcher. And I'm really reaching here, but he put it all together and made a bomb. Yep, made a bomb and saved the day by blowing up the ambulance and getting us out of work for the rest of the 28 hours of our 24-hour shift. Man, that MacGyver is a magical guy. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jerry. Jim W. up next said, had a retired football player who currently worked for a local news station that was in a minor MVA, ended up refusing. Cops made big deal out of him, so we had to sit on scene so that he could sit in the rig out of the public eye. My partner had no clue who he was, and I was okay, cool. And that has to be rough in the camera phone age. And I know I'm dating myself by calling them camera phones. We just call them cell phones now. But in the cell phone age, that everyone has a video camera on them, that has to be really rough to be a celebrity in any kind of normal accident. You know, we bumper bump all the time, or we get into minor fender benders or anything like that. But like, because you're you, it's going, your bad day is going to be everywhere. That has to be really, really rough. I mean, I want to know what it's like. You know, I wouldn't mind to find out how rough it was. But no, it's definitely has to be rough. But still, I welcome it. Moving on, Jeff H. said, met Sam Elliott at the fire station. Nice guy, beat the hell pickup truck. Now, I mentioned Sam Elliott by name because he was not a patient, and this is not a HIPAA violation. You're simply saying that Sam Elliott stopped by the fire station. Maybe he brought cookies. Maybe he just wanted to show his appreciation. Maybe he was like, you know that I appreciate everything you do. That was my best Sam Elliott impression. I'm sorry, I know it could have been better, and that's okay, because there we go. That's a little bit more. Thank you. Here's some cookies. I can't do it. Never mind. I bail. No. All right. So anyway, but Sam Elliott stopped by, but I do like that he has a beat to hell pickup truck, because some celebrities, and I'm not saying anybody in particular, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, have these mega pickup trucks that, just kidding, have these mega pickup trucks, not kidding, that have never seen a muddy puddle. And yes, I just said muddy puddle because my daughter watches Peppa Pig. Let's try this all over again, shall we? These guys drive these monstrous pickup trucks that have never seen dirt. You know, they're really pristine and really nice looking. And a guy like Sam Elliott would strike me as somebody who would have a pickup truck that has seen some damn yard work, some tree work, some has moved something. You know, he seems like a man's man. And that thrills me. You know, it really thrills me to find out that he is, you know, not just some gruff, tough sounding guy on television. No, he has a pickup truck that is as hardworking as he is. Like a rock. I don't know if he's the voice of that, but I know he sounds like that guy, right? Anyway, sorry, I beat that. That was like a two-sentence comment that I just turned into like 5 minutes of shit. Moving on. Trevor Q, good to see you, said, I was working a special event EMS company at an international competition event. As I was doing my rounds, I was approached by a group of people that were so panicked I thought someone was dead. It turned out the patient had a twisted ankle, and a little Rysam was all she needed. The next day back at the station, the manager gave me a big hug and thanked me for proudly representing the company. I later found out the person I helped was a major pop singer, and she specifically thanked my company. To this day, I have no idea who she was. That's awesome, Trevor. Maybe that's the pop star I mentioned earlier. Maybe not. No, I'm just joking. I think everybody knows who she is, but that's pretty cool. But the fact that like, oh, thank you so much for making us look so good. That's a good feeling. I got that feeling one time in my career. We were working standby for a retreat, and the retreat was for like a major bank company. And so this big retreat for like the southeast, because I'm here in South Carolina. So the southeast region or whatever, of this major, major bank. You would know exactly who I'm talking about if I mention this bank by name. Well, there was a lady who had some chest pain overnight and felt sick and had thrown up, and she wanted to get checked out, and I checked her out and couldn't see any, you know, changes on the monitor or anything, but because her chest pain was still there, I went through the whole entire Mona, did everything as they asked, and found out once she got to the hospital that she had a troponin of 5. It turned out that she had a cardiac event in the overnight, and it just so happened that she was the wife of the vice president of this mega dang bank. I got phone calls. Thank you so much for representing the company. You could have sat on that call or let her sign the refusal that she wanted to sign, but you didn't because your spidey senses must have told you that this was important and all the blah, 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 blah. Then when in-service came around, somebody else in the company got a $5 or $10 McDonald's gift certificate because somebody had sent in a card saying, thank you for being so kind when you helped my mother off the floor when she fell off the commode. So that is my little secret to anybody who used to work with me in 911. I did that. Yeah, I did that. You never heard about it, but I did that. I saved somebody, like, you know, helped save somebody who was important to somebody who was an important person at an important place. Yeah, I did that. And I don't need a McDonald's gift card because I know in my heart of hearts who I am. I'm a hero. I'm the boogeyman hero. Moving on. Jeannie N said, does Jesus and Satan count? Now, I know what you meant to say. I'm pretty sure I know what you meant to say, but Jeannie, you really did spell Satan. And so when I first read this, Satan count made me think about thread count, sheets, and all that stuff. And then I just giggled and but I'm going to read this in the way that I'm sure you intended it, okay? So here it goes. Jeannie N says, does Jesus and Satan count? They are always fun rides. Even better if it was only one patient who thought that they were both. Yes, that's true. And it's really funny when it's not Jesus and his bedsheets. Jesus and his satin count. So thank you, Jeannie. I really enjoyed that little laugh. Like I said, I'm sure you didn't do it intentionally or just claim that you did. You said, you know what? I wanted to make him laugh. So I deliberately misspelled Satan. I won't tell. Moving on. Chuck F. Chuck F. said, like Rob B., we took a Smurf from Barbie on Ice to the ER. We also had a local DJ in an MVA and two presidential motorcade details, but didn't meet either president. The Smurf was very funny. My partner sang to the DJ off-key. I felt bad for her. The Secret Service agent riding with us on one of the details scared me a little. She showed us her weapon and stated that if the president needed us, do not run toward the president. Wait for escort or she would have to shoot us. Dang. Thank you, Chuck F., for that one. I have heard about the Secret Service details. I have not worked one myself, but I have heard that I believe it's President-elect Biden was the, when he was vice president, he has a house down here on Kiowa Island or Seabrook Island. It might be Seabrook Island, but he has a house down here and he comes into town. And back when he was the vice president, he came down here and he had a detail with him. And they were riding with, and the Secret Service explained in no uncertain terms to the 911 paramedic and EMT that we have two medics in our Secret Service detail. So if the vice president falls ill, you will give us your ambulance. You can go ahead and sit on the side of the road and your chief will pick you up. Have a good day. So they just pretty much said, we will scoop him up, throw him in your ambulance and leave you on the side of the road. That would be kind of cool though, you know, but like you aren't even going to be retrieving your belongings. Like they say, get out. So like they're taking off with your iPad. Now, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, but still, that's pretty wild because if they saw you fishing in cabinets for a bag and then you pull out the bag, you might get pop pop. That's all I'm saying. So I thought that was pretty cool. But President-elect Biden, then vice president, was fine. Nothing happened. And it was just a follow behind and follow back and all that stuff. So, yeah. But awesome, Chuck F., that you got to meet a Smurf. That has always been a dream of mine. So, man, one day. And moving on, Stephen C., actually, this will be last up on Facebook. Stephen C. said, not a celebrity, but a somewhat well-known local politician. He was fine, and I didn't realize who he was until later. Then I chuckled at the fact that he fit the stereotype of old white politician with alcoholic cirrhosis. Yeah. And he did not mention any names. I didn't have to edit that. So I don't know who he's talking about, but that is a stereotype that I've heard. As a matter of fact, I've heard the stories in the scuttlebutt of a lot of politicians and local people who have a problem with the drink. Yes. And that is sad, but a thing, you know, maybe it's the pressures of the job, or maybe it's just they were alcoholics to begin with, and that's what made them so likable. Because what do we say? What do we say when we're going to elect a future anything? They seem like somebody that I could have a beer with. See? So that's why probably alcoholics or secretive alcoholics wind up getting so many votes, because they look like somebody you could have a beer with. And you could all the time, like many beers in a row, probably too many. You probably could drive them back to their house, or guess at the very least, call them an ambulance. So thank you very much, Stephen. And that was all on Facebook. Moving over to Twitter, we actually had two comments on Twitter. How awesome is that? That might be a record. First up, we have Brick EMS. How do you guys do? Brick EMS said, had the privilege of having Marcellus Wallace as a third rider for a friend, which was really cool because he later became Marcus, and I was hoping he'd say, the first step is love, the second is mercy. So that is cool. The actor Ving Rhames did a ride-along. That's pretty cool. So not a patient, so not HIPAA problems, but that would have been so, like, surreal in the best way, is if you actually had to Narcan a patient with, you know, Ving Rhames standing there with you. And you'd be begging him, please, please, do the Marcus thing. Like, do the Ivy banging thing. Come on, please. And he'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. This is real life, asshole. Save a life. Do your job. I'm not doing that. He'd probably be so mad at you. But it would, man. or if he played along. He strikes me as somebody who might be able to play along. He seems cool, you know, real cool. I mean, God, this guy is in Mission Impossible movies, and he's the voice of Arby's. You'd have to be cool to be in, like, some of the top-grossing action films alongside Tom Cruise, and at the same time be the guy who goes, "We have the meats." That's cool as can be. I mean, that's like two opposite sides of a career. Used to be back in the day, people who did commercials didn't do movies and didn't do billion-dollar worldwide grossing movies, right? So I think he's cool. I think he'd have done it. But thank you, Brick EMS. That's awesome. And last up on Twitter, Medic Girl said, "Because I work primarily event EMS, I have treated many famous cyclists, such as," and she lists them, and you would probably be able to guess. Think of any famous cyclist that you know. Yeah. And some actors who were also well known for cycling, including another very noted actor from a very popular television show who is into cycling. This is one I didn't get to edit before here, so this is what I'm talking about, the awkward, trying not to get me in trouble read. They have also treated singers, including a late, very, very famous rocker, and another person from a rock band, and let's see, two California governors for minor issues, several major USATF athletes, TV news personalities, running and cycling events, an NBC News cameraman for a foul ball hit, line drive to the camera. Camera hit his face and did some decent damage. Damn, thank you, Medic Girl. Yeah, working those events. That's like, what is it, Stuart Scott from ESPN? He took a football to the face from the pitching wedge or whatever, from the machine that spits out the footballs for catching practice. I think it was what caused his lazy eye or whatever. Yeah, those sporting events, that's a wild anything goes kind of thing. So I've only worked one sporting event. No, I worked a Citadel football game. I worked a couple of sporting events, and a couple of WWE wrestling matches and stuff like that. So yeah, those always have the potential to be really, really bad, but I've been fortunate. No injuries whatsoever on any of those events. I did work a triathlon, I believe. Yeah, triathlon. Only thing I had to do was just give a guy give him water and give him ice and all and a heat pack for his leg. And this one guy, man, he finished, but he was destroyed. And the guy who finished first, he was fine, taking pictures with everybody. I was like, "Do you need anything?" He was like, "No, I'm good." Walked over, got himself a barbecue sandwich. I mean, he smoked that course. The guy who came in like third, we thought we were going to have to take him to the hospital. I mean, he was like dying. It's very weird how different bodies react, or like the level of training that people put into different things kind of affects their recovery time or their cardiovascular thing or their muscle health. So it's pretty interesting to see. But Medic Girl works a lot of those events and has treated a lot of people. So she doesn't say, if it was surreal or anything, or she didn't answer the second part of my question. But still, she mentioned enough people that I'm pretty sure the latter part of the question would be just another day. Right, Medic Girl? That's what I think. Moving on to Instagram, Leron K. Leron K said, "Had a patient that had taken so many drugs that he was convinced he was famous. Does that count?" I said, I'll allow it. And then she said, I've had more than one like that, and one had a whole bunch of other druggies following him." Thank you, Leron. So this person who was on drugs said they were famous, and a bunch of other people on drugs were like, "Oh my God, it is. It is him." It's like, "Oh my God, I love your movies." Like, you have to tell me, follow up with me, Leron. If he didn't look like anybody at all, like if he was bald and like 80 years old, but a bunch of druggies and him all thought that he was like George Clooney, please tell me. Tell me about it. I gotta know. That is great. Next up, Alan G said, "Certain comedy great had his own life pack and cardiologist." Now, I'm pretty sure I could figure out, I think you left initials, and I could figure out who you were talking about, and he was one of my faves. I miss him. I miss seeing him and all that stuff, but yeah, I can imagine that being the case. I could have imagined that being Rodney Dangerfield's case, in his later years too, is if you had the ability to do so and you had the money to do so, why not, right? I mean, I would. Probably not. I'm classically one of the worst patients. I'm that guy who's a medic but hates being a patient. So yeah, probably not. Thank you, Alan. Kayleen W. Kayleen W. said, never had a celebrity, but have had a few that claim to work for the FBI. Huh. I almost omitted this comment because the FBI, they probably scan all podcasts for mention of those three letters, and now they're listening to my podcast. So thanks a lot, Kayleen. Now you brought the heat on me. You brought the heat. Just kidding. Just kidding, Kayleen. The FBI probably has no idea who I am. They probably don't have a file on the boogeyman paramedic, the boogeyman hero. Are we going to let that one die? Probably not anytime soon. Moving on, Rob C. said, I mean, if you consider giving fluids to Major League Baseball and NFL players as having celebrity patients, they were all pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I like that. I would hope they'd be cool. I mean, I've met a couple of football players back in my time in radio and different events and stuff like that, and all of them seem relatively cool. I remember one being cool to talk to, but just did not want to get a picture with me. Just that was when like a switch flipped, you know, where he was like, totally cool. We were chatting, and I say, hey, can I get a picture with you? And he's like, nah, man, I don't do that. And I'm like, aw. And he's like, no. And he got like real stern, you know? And I wasn't like being a dick about it. I was just like, aw, you know, like, damn. But hey, I respected it. I said, no problem. And then I went over and took a picture with the person that he was hanging with, which happened to be Vivica Fox. Thank you, Vivica, for taking a picture with me that night. Vivica Fox, that was very nice of you. And it was a pleasure meeting you. You were very sweet. Moving on, Grant G. Oh, last up on Instagram. Grant G said, certain baseball head coach during a game was a complete asshole. Dang. And I would love to sit here and make guesses, but I would just literally be calling out the head coaches of all the teams that I've disliked my whole life. So I would just be mean, you know. So I can't call anybody out, but God, the flood of names that just came to my head of head coaches, NFL and Major League Baseball, that I just could not stand. I would have loved to have just done that just now, but I'm being good because technically the FBI is listening. I know. Thank you so much, Instagram. Moving on, REMS is back in the mix. The subreddit of REMS over on Reddit. I have 4 comments that came from those guys. So thank you for joining on this episode of the podcast. Glad to have you. First up, we have Jack Spy 64. Jack Spy 64 said, my old ambulance company was owned by an ex-movie star. He got us the contract for some of the plastic surgery places in Beverly Hills, and we got to take some D-listers to an unnamed celebrity recovery center post-surgery. So, okay, so you're saying like a recovery center is in like a step-down kind of rehab, not like drug recovery. Like, all right, so your knee's all better? Cool, now off to Betty Ford with you. you know, or and that other guy, is it Passions or I don't know, Reflections or something. It's some kind of rehab place where the weenie's in the commercial and he's like, I used to be an addict, but now I'm not. Now, that bothers me because my dad and my stepmom were in recovery. They were in Narcotics Anonymous when I was a kid, and I got to know that very well. I got to see it firsthand on the weekends that I was visiting with my dad, just because it's his weekend and the custody thing doesn't mean he's not an addict this weekend. He has to take in meetings all the time because the addiction was real, even though he wasn't using. And even though he was clean for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 1 year, the chip, you know, even though he was crushing it, he was still very much an addict up until the day he died, you know. So it's a lifelong battle. That's what I believe. So when I hear him say, I used to be an addict and now I'm not, makes me feel like they're trying to propose a cure. And I'm sorry, but a day spa is not going to cure somebody of their addiction. It pisses me off on a level that's like personal because of my family members who have very much and still to this day battle drug addiction. Like, I went to this retreat, I got some counseling, a fucking incredible mud bath, and then I walked out and there was a guy in the parking lot who had a plate of cocaine and said, here, do you want some? And I said, No thanks. I used to be an addict, but now I'm not. Asshole. Anyway, I'm just going to step off my soapbox real quick. Sorry. Sorry, just don't mind me. I'm going to go ahead and you can take that crate and use it for something on Pinterest. Have a crate. I don't need this soapbox anymore. Okay. Bye. Moving on. Randhauser, 5566 said, not a celebrity, but apparently someone that was insanely rich and had a wing of a hospital named after one of his family members. Had no idea who he was because the name was different and only found out when we got to the hospital. Wow. So the rich person said, you know, that's my grandpa. And, or did the people there go, oh, hey, it's so-and-so's grandson. Either way, probably right. You'd figure it out. Because if he were name-dropping, he could have been lying. You know, rich people lie too. Because they can. Because they can afford it. Eric8181 said, I'm not really in the habit of being starstruck by celebrities, nor do I happen to keep track of knowing celebrities. It seems to work out for me. There's been a few times I know of pre-hospitally I've had celebrity patients. The first time it was a rapper that got stabbed. The second time was an actress. And the only reason I knew was because the basic told me afterwards with the first one, and the second one was in the news. There's probably been more times that I don't know of, though. I'm on float pool at the hospital I work at. I seem to get voluntold for VIP patients relatively frequently. I've had some household names. Occasionally they get needy, but otherwise it's not that exciting or memorable for me. And that's cool. I like hearing, I think I was looking forward to hearing that from people too, that they're just regular people. I like that feeling. Some assholes, some regular people. I wanted to hear the mix, and there's one that just said, you know, hey, it was just another day. So I appreciate that one, Eric's 8181. And last up on the REMS Reddit was Love Muppet. Love the name. Love Muppet said, I've worked in special event and concert medical for 15 plus years. Met a few NASCAR drivers over the years and quite a few musicians. I wanted to say magicians. I don't know why, but I say musicians. If by met, you can count, hey man, got a Band-Aid, as meeting. Right. And that happens. You know, celebrity comes up to you and goes, hey, do you have any ibuprofen? I have a really bad headache. You're on this movie set. You're expecting maybe I might get to work on something good. And they're like, oh man, I've had this headache since I woke up this morning. Do you have any ibuprofen, please? And you're like, yeah, sure, right here. But hey, man, you got to give Band-Aids to musicians and NASCAR drivers. Think about it. That musician's finger could have ruined his playing, but it was Band-Aided, and the concert went off without a hitch. Or that NASCAR driver, every time he went to go turn left, it could have rubbed that spot on his finger, but he got the Band-Aid and won the race. Don't sell yourself short, Love Muppet. You changed something. You changed the outcome of something for somebody. You did hero's work, and not boogeyman hero's work, real hero's work. And I'm proud of you. All right, moving on. The REMscapades Reddit. We have first up GunMedic15. GunMedic15 said, if you believe the patient, I have transported both Jesus and the devil a number of times, mostly from the local detox. I like that. We already had somebody who claimed that they had transported both, or... you know, Jesus with a really cool satin robe. I don't know. So yes. And Fork and Bowl, that's a good name. Fork and Bowl, replied and said, I've run both at the same time. Nice guy. So all of us have gotten a chance. I mean, not me personally. I think I've met each separately, but you guys have both gotten a chance to meet Jesus and the devil and Jesus and Satan. You got to meet them at the same time. That's so nice. It's just, and I always thought they'd be nice because, you know, they used to be friends. You know, they used to know each other, and they probably still mix it up at, like, socials and stuff, you know, like Heaven Help Mixers, if you believe the movie Little Nicky. I liked that movie. Sue me. I like most of Adam Sandler's movies. I don't care. Once again, come at me. IU Loves You said many. Okay. They continue, just another day, though management and entourage can be annoying to deal with at times. You quickly realize they're just another person, patient. Most are friendly or at least polite. Some are assholes. So thank you, IU Loves You. That sounds like an average shift, right? So when people are people, that sounds like you would, I had a bunch of patients today. Some were polite, some were friendly, and some were assholes. So there you go. Swifty Shep, Sorry, Swifty Shep. There is no freaking way anybody, I challenge you, could say that at least two times fast. So anyway, I already messed it up. Swifty Shep said, "The mayor of our small city is the closest I've ever come. He was okay, but his handler, or whoever she was a handful that seemed to think he was made of glass." Yes, or also didn't want you to get close enough to smell their breath because they were the stereotypical old politician, alcoholic cirrhosis patient. No, I'm just teasing. That's terrible. That is terrible to assign that to somebody. You didn't say that. I put words in your mouth. Swifty Shep. I bail on your name. I will never say it again. So if you comment in the future, you better be prepared to be called SS, because that's hard to say. So anyway, moving on. Stoed, says, "I've run a few people famous enough to have a secondary road named after them." That's a pretty interesting way of putting it. They continue, "The ones I can remember were very much in their twilight years and very near comatose. Not anybody you would know if you were from a different city, but enough to be a household name for locals." So like local television and news and stuff like that. Okay, well, that's cool, but I'm sad that they're near comatose, I guess elderly, you said in their twilight years, so yeah, that sucks. Especially if you watched them on TV since you were like a kid and you had to see them kind of like not their former selves. That's really rough. So kind of makes me sad, but I will just hold on to the secondary road comment. I think that's the way I'm going to describe the level of fame that I hope to achieve one day. I'm like, you know, I don't want to be famous, like just famous enough to have a secondary road named after me, really. That's so neat. I'm stealing it. So thank you, Stoed. DHW Rock Climber said, "Not in my capacity as an EMT, parentheses, not that I would even know if I had, but I have otherwise. No fun stories. They all get the same courtesy anybody else does." So got you. So not in your capacity as an EMT, but otherwise. So you waited on them at a restaurant or filled their gas tank for them or put 5 on pump 8 or went, you know, reached over for the Marlboro Reds for them. I don't know. I don't know what capacity, you know, they get treated just the same. I say 5 on 8, like hopefully a celebrity could afford more than $5 on pump 8, but I'm just going by like my life. Growing up, man, I $5 a gas tank to death. But anyway, another story for another time. And last up, Renwald99 said, "Technically, yes. Sadly, all of them were on downward spirals after fame and were more well known for being frequent flyers more than anything else." That sucks. What a downer note to end this podcast on. Damn it, I need to pre-read these a little better. That really bums me out. But celebrity is a funny thing. I used to think when I was a kid it was something that was like predestined, or you were made of stardust. You were just different. And now I believe that it's just you had a really cool job that made a lot more money than the average person. And eventually, like anybody, you can lose that job. And when you lose that job, you're just like anybody else who fell on hard times or lost their job. And that's a shame that, you know, it has to kind of, the magic of celebrity or the magic of famous people wears off on us in time. Like I said, it doesn't mean I don't want to be one. You know, love to find out. You know, just keep that in mind. Anybody listening, you want a paramedic comedian who can draw? Let me know. I can draw pictures. So, but anyway, like I said, thank you. Sorry, I tried to pick it up off of that downer last comment, but hey, here we are. That is all I have for the podcast question. Thank you to everyone who commented and for listening to the podcast. I seriously can't do the greater majority of these things without you. And if you haven't commented, you want to be a part of the conversation next week, simply, again, follow EM Escapades on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit, and comment on Wednesday when the podcast question is posted. And if you haven't already, you can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and pretty much anywhere else that podcasts are found. And you can always listen, of course, on emescapades.com, where there are the Examining My Strip series, which, when I'm not busy with other things, post Tuesday through Friday, as well as this podcast and a shop, EMEscapades, EMSCapades.com/shop. The EMSCapades Emporium is what I call it. That makes really no sense, but it was cool and alliteration is my thing. So anyway, go on there. There's t-shirts, books, beanies, hats, stuff. Nothing there is over $25. So please find something you like. Support EMSCapades. I always appreciate it. Plus, I just like having my artwork out there on your chests and heads and backs. I don't know if I have any t-shirts with anything on the back. Rambling, moving on. So, but thank you for listening to this episode of EMSCapades Off Duty and all the previous episodes and all the future episodes. I'm so happy to have you as a listener, and I'm glad that you guys comment and are a part of this, and I hope you're enjoying this as much as I have. And as always, I want you guys to stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, I love you guys. That's it. Take care. Bye-bye.